On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Light it.
Welcome Do it.
Yeah. Tall Can Sports on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. At Tall Can Audio on the Twitter. Patreon.com/Tall Can Audio. You can support the show and get some new shit there. Do it. Rob over there.
Hey, hey.
How's it going, man?
Top notch.
Ready really? For your Friday, ladies and gentlemen. The weekend is just about upon you. You can survive one more day of your soul-crushing existence before you get into the Saturday of your soul-crushing existence.
Yeah, if that's what it is, if the weight of the world is upon you, reach out.
It's true, man. Where would you like to start here, man? We got a few things going on that I wanted to... Why don't we start with baseball? Because I feel like it's been a little neglected. There's been a ton going on between the Raptors, which you can check out on the last show at tallcanaudio.com. All the archives are there. There's been a ton of hockey talk with free agency and the draft and everything that's gone on around there. And we're kind of now into that spot in the summer where things get a little, I don't know, a little light, right? A little, your baseball teams are either in it or they're not. Your hockey team GM has long since headed to his cottage somewhere.
After imploding, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
NFL, still 6 weeks away.
Right. So
that's
of time,
the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Lots
See
of time
later.
Out there to beat on your significant other before you report to camp if you're an NFL player.
Thank you. Thank you for for specifying, or a baseball player, really, in the here coming close at the close of the All-Star break.
Sure. I don't think this – I can't remember a time where I didn't watch one single inning of the baseball All-Star game. But that's what happened to me this year. I just couldn't have cared less.
See, I watched. Not a lot.
Right.
I was in and out. In and out. I watched a little bit. I'm trying to think of what that Rays pitcher. Snelling.
You're on your own, man.
Man, but he's got some nasty shit. And it's
See a relief pitcher who often pitches the first for them? Because they're kind of working through some stuff down there that's been interesting but not particularly successful.
Well, and everybody with that idea that, well, if we're going to get 5 innings out of somebody or 6, why do they have to be the first 5 innings?
And in theory, I mean, this you and I didn't plan to talk about this, but in
Clearly
theory,
not, because I would have come up with that guy's name.
It makes sense that your problem becomes when your pitcher sees the lineup for the third time, right?
Yep.
So you could send out one of your best relievers in the first inning, have them face the top of the lineup in the first, maybe pitch the second, maybe not. Then your starter comes in and he goes his typical 6 or 7, but maybe he only sees the top of the lineup twice while he does it because a strong relievers are. So these are all analytics things. These are all advanced.
It's out of the box, though.
It is. And I don't hate the idea, but baseball is just one of those sports that's never going to totally swing to that, right?
Yeah, I don't think. Baseball should really look at doing something because, man.
Well, and attendance is way down.
For sure.
Like, it's easy to look at Toronto, where you and I both focus, and it's way down there, but it's down.
Oh, no, we suck again.
But it's way down across the league. So that they're working through some things. But to me, that's an interesting idea, and I don't hate that someone is trying it, right? It's not working, but that might be a statement on their pitching staff more than the concept.
So if you didn't watch a second of it.
Nope, not once.
I can tell you just in 30 seconds that the game itself was an absolute microcosm of the entire season.
Okay.
You had a record-setting amount of home runs.
Right.
And then everybody else either struck out or walked. That, like, honestly.
No balls in play.
That just, really, that's
it. Three true results.
There was a pile of walks, a pile of strikeouts, and a record-setting All-Star game, 10 home runs.
J.A. Happ giving up a home run and getting a save.
His first pro save, J.A. Happ, exactly.
It won't even count.
For sure it won't. Interesting, though, because I was listening to the broadcast that had Dan Shulman and Buck Martinez on it.
That's a good call. Well, 50% a good call.
Yeah, well, Buck is good.
Buck's okay as the color guy.
Exactly. If he's supporting Shulman, right. the silky tones of
maybe
Dan
the best
Shulman
in the business.
Man, I love listening to that guy.
Yep.
They had, and I'm not sure if it was sort of in that sort of third, fourth inning area, they had Jack Morris up in the booth.
Mr. Personality.
Okay, well, see, and you're young for as a dominant 80s pitcher into the early 90s.
Yeah.
Dude was nails. Right.
Well, my earliest memory of him would be maybe 91 with the Twins.
For sure. Pitching. Hey, anybody who's got the big enough stones to go 10 innings in a 1-0 game and win the game
you
7 of the World Series.
You would never see that now from anyone.
Well,
if you go 7, you're a hero.
And somebody said, Buck or Dan said, how many innings would it have had to have gone, Jack, before you would willingly have given up the ball? And he's like, well, I don't know, but I'm grateful that it only went 10 because I don't know. Right? But that is, as you said, that would never happen. And that's legend stuff.
Yeah.
But he was a kind of guy, man, he'd go inside on you in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Great. Again, great stash.
Oh, yeah.
But as a guy who made his hay with the Tigers.
Was it the Tigers, not the Twins, am I?
Yeah, no, he was there with Trammell and Whitaker turning record-setting double plays behind him in Detroit.
Okay.
He was saying, and he touched on this, he left Detroit after the bulk of his career, and he was saying, you know, really what they had going in Minnesota was just on the come. He goes, they were a team we used to dominate. He goes, but then got to be harder and harder, and when it came time, he said, that's a place I'd like to go to see if I can.
Right.
And so he said, same with Toronto, right? He goes,
year later, 92.
Right. Yeah, he was there for both.
Yeah.
92 and 93 World Series championships. But he was saying, just, you know, you look around at that point in your career and you're like, I want to keep winning. I want to have success. And you're able to hand pick. But really, I bring him up more because he's talking about, when you watch guys, Max Scherzer started the game. And for people who say nobody cares, his four fastest pitches of the year were all in the first inning of yesterday's game.
Just lighten it up, eh?
Right around 98 miles an hour. So for anybody who says, yeah, I don't care. He gave up a 6-mile home run to, not really, to Judge.
Yeah.
But Jack Morris was talking about, and I bring up the miles per hour, simply because he was talking about the change in the velocity, the average velocity pitchers have from his day to now. And he's saying it's easily 4 miles an hour difference, right, at the top end.
Right.
Right, between guys. He's saying, so that's, it's incredible, really.
For sure it is.
But what he's saying, and I don't think it's just an old guy telling, you know, back in my day, what he's saying, though, is he's saying it's velocity, and now but you're missing guys with touch,
right?
And feel kind right.
Paint the corners. This a little is, bit.
You're getting the extra velocity, but you're losing that sort of art of pitching,
right?
Right. Like we used to, and it's not that long ago, but you watched Roy Halladay in his in his peak, and it wasn't the He wasn't overpowering you.
No, he was never cooking it up at 100.
It was the shit that would drop right off the table. It was the movement. It was all those sorts of things.
Yeah, just nasty. And even for Blue Jays fans, you go back to 2015 and before that.
Oh, they're going to say all the way back to Jimmy Key.
Nah. Mark Burley, right? At the end of his career.
Couldn't crack 90.
Everything he was throwing was in the 80s. But the game would be over by 9:30 and he'd be... But it was all just
soft tossing,
hitting the spots, right? Just knowing the weak spots of a hitter, just kind of painting those corners, curveball that had run off the end of the table on you. Just pitching instead of throwing, right? Is kind of the term that they like to use on it. And that's totally lost now. It's all just, can you gun it by somebody? And less is that the case. I think that's probably part of the reason you're seeing more home runs is, I know that guy's about to throw me a fastball as hard as he fucking can, and I'm just going to see if I can catch up to it.
Well, Judge, who's 6'8 or whatever he is, right?
A monster.
He turned around a 95-mile-per-hour fastball.
Yeah.
Pros like that are going to get on that heat.
Yep.
Yeah, and even borderline major league players are going to get on heat, right? You got to bring the heat with something else.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to hear Morris talk about that, and I believe it. I agree with him. Thus, the proliferation of home runs and walks.
Well, and that's absolutely a part of it, right? In terms of seeing less doubles, less singles, less whatever, is just if there's a guy up there who's just going to gun it up to 98 on you, all you can do is take a hard...
Start swinging.
Yeah. And so you're either going to strike out or you're going to smash that out of the park.
Yeah.
Even as a marginal hitter. So that's kind of a weird
Steve
spot
Pierce.
that Now Red Sox.
Random. Yeah. Hitting 330. I was looking at the
of course
last weekend before the All-Star break, looking at the averages in their starting lineup and they're dropping it down. And you're like, Jesus. And then you go, 330? Steve Pierce. Ah, but he's had, what, three games? Don't give me that shit. Put the whole season in there.
There's no fun in that if you're a Red Sox fan.
And just in an aside.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts.
Yep.
Is there a better hitter right now in the game than Mookie Betts?
Man, there's a few guys in that Boston lineup that you know, this isn't even fair. Like because it's not just power, right? When you talk about guys like just get some wood on it, knock it out into left center or something, right?
Xander Bogaerts
is the other guy. Jackie Bradley Jr.
Okay, and here's you had said at the beginning of the season, and I totally poo-pooed it. So this is props to you now here, 90 games in, whatever it is.
I know this is going to be hard for you. So.
Yeah, the signing of J.D. Martinez, right? And he had 30 home runs or whatever it was. He was coming in as a legitimate power hitter.
Yeah.
He's got 30 at the break.
Yeah.
Right? And hitting 312 or whatever it is, right?
It's just disgusting.
Yeah. And so you're like, okay, yeah, maybe he wasn't as shitty.
Right.
And air quotes again, shitty as I had predicted. But
there's parts of that lineup that resemble a little bit of that Blue Jays 2015, 2016, where you get those home runs because there's no one in front of you to pitch around, right? You have to pitch to that guy because the guy behind you is just as likely to, you know, you had Josh Donaldson batting second. All right, if you want, you can walk that guy and put him on, but here comes Batista and here comes Edwin right behind him.
Yeah.
You have to pitch to him. And that Boston lineup looks a lot like that. So,
well, and they got guys, and it's not just the home runs. They got guys smashing balls off the Green Monster at like a record pace, right? Double, double, double. And you're like, poof, what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do?
So they're gross, man.
They are gross.
Their lineup is
And fine. It feels like we've played them 50 times.
Well, and the Blue Jays, I guess if you're a Blue Jays fan who's still holding out any kind of hope.
No.
It looks like at time of recording, we're recording this Wednesday, releasing on Friday, the Manny Machado deal to the Dodgers is still being held up by some of the prospects that are supposed to go the other way have failed their physicals. So we don't know whether or not that's going to happen or not. But they just look like, I don't even remember where the fuck I was supposed to be going with that, man. Manny Machado.
All right. Yeah, how about Machado? How about Machado going?
I just want him out of the division, really.
Yeah. How about him? How about him?
I had a point.
Reaching second base last night, where Matt Kemp was, who is a Dodger.
Right.
Machado pulls out his phone, takes a selfie with his potential teammate, Matt Kemp.
Okay. See. That's stuff that I'm sure baseball traditionalists hate.
For sure. I'm like, where are you putting that phone,
yeah,
man?
Where's that been?
Yeah, well,
Don't actually tell us where that's been. But
so there you go. Two guys, one in his Orioles jersey.
Oh, I know where I was going. If you're a Blue Jays fan holding out hope, the Blue Jays have 12 games left against the Orioles, potentially without Manny Machado, likely without Manny Machado. You'd get back to 500 pretty easy. So
yeah, well, and how do you feel? You have essentially a hockey season left to go of games, and you're 22 games out. Like, you got 80 more games, and you suck.
I'd just like to finish above 500.
Well, we kicked that around here, right? We talked about, is it going to be low 80s? Is it going to be high 80s?
Well, you were good enough to throw a little praise this way on J.D. Martinez. I came in far too optimistic on this Blue Jays team. Now, they haven't been healthy, but even when they have, they've under... Like, they haven't done shit. Like, Stroman, who we're going to talk about here in a second, has had a terrible year. Sanchez, apparently, isn't prepared to be healthy again. The only bright lights you've had have been J-Hap and then...
Solarte?
Oh, I want to dance with Solarte.
Yeah, I want to feel the heat with Solarte.
With Solarte, who loves me? That's it, man. They've sucked.
Well, and see, the guys who
Grigic's been okay since he came back from the...
From the minors?
From the DL.
Okay. From the stint in Buffalo and wherever else he was, shaved his beard and got after it. You know, I think Granderson
has awesome.
Been okay. Well, but see, but he's interesting.
Yep.
Right. Short sample size, but I like Diaz when he's healthy.
Yep. But they suck defensively.
Yeah, I know.
Like, let's move this into Stroman, who kind of went off the deep end here. It's up to you how much you want to read into that. But his game, like a lot of the...
And who's that, sorry? Who'd you say? I'm sorry.
Stroman.
Stroman.
As we move into kind of the outbreak he had, or outburst he had earlier this week...
I'm waiting for him to outbreak out of his 2-12.
It's terrible. But part of his game requires solid defense behind him. Now, he hasn't pitched well, but... The Aledmys Diaz, the Yandervis Solarte.
Yandervis!
Yeah, honestly. These aren't good. Even Devin Travis, right? These aren't good defensive pieces at this point. And if you're a ground ball pitcher, you're fucked, right? Like,
yeah.
These guys are holding it together best they can, but they expected to be playing with JD and maybe at some point this year, Troy Tulowitzki. And they're just not, right? Like, you don't have a good defensive infield at all. And so if you're pitching to contact, you're in trouble. So as we move into that, Marcus Stroman on Sunday, after the Blue Jays lost their third of four to Boston, had a bit of an outburst. And he sat with the cameras on and answered everybody's questions in terms of the game. And he said, you know, it's worth noting, and I only bring it up because I think it's going to become relevant. He, in front of the cameras, picked up his teammates, right? And someone straight up asked him, you know, how does it feel when maybe you make a good pitch and the defense behind you doesn't pick it up? And he said exactly what he should say, which is, my defense has picked me up 100 times when I haven't made a good pitch, and so I should pitch better on days where maybe we don't have it going defensively, essentially is what he said.
Yep.
Once the cameras and the interviews were largely over and everything was shut off, and he goes to walk back into the locker room, because in Boston at Fenway, the locker rooms aren't big enough. You have to do those out kind of in plain view of the public and whatever. And he turns around, reportedly, and no one's confirmed this, but everyone seems to believe it was to Arash Madani, who I know you're not a huge fan of.
He's huge, though.
of Sportsnet, who had, at the end of all the other questions about the game, had asked Stroman, apparently for a piece that Sportsnet wanted to do down the road about, is it Nat Bailey Stadium in Vancouver? And they asked him, you know, some kind of question about this stadium.
Because he was there in single A ball or
something.
That's
right, like that. Yeah, short season A ball. and had asked him what that stadium was like, and he kind of just said, I think that's irrelevant at this point after we just lost to Boston. And so they shut all the cameras off, they shut the mics off, and he's walking away, and he turns around, and he's like, are you fucking serious asking me about Nat Bailey? We just lost to Boston. I'm fucking terrible. We're fucking terrible. And this obviously becomes the story, right? Like, the biggest thing seems to be the we're fucking terrible, right? Did you throw your team under the bus? Did you, you know? You take it, man.
And that's something I had read where they said, yeah, this blow up comes from a off the record statement. Cameras are off, interview's over.
Yep.
Right. And you're now reporting on something that unfolded after that.
Yep.
So there's some merit to that, in my opinion.
And that's why I brought up the fact that in almost any other park, this would have been in the locker room, and reporters have a fairly standard, unless this is said into a camera on a microphone in the locker room, I can't report it because I'm in their space. But in Boston, these things happen just kind of outside the door of your locker room. Yeah. And so now you're nitpicking,
old, tiny
right?
old park. See, and what Stroman needs to understand is, yeah, you're 2-7.
Yeah, you suck too.
You have a 6 ERA, right?
Yeah.
They're counting on you to be way, way better than that.
Right.
So again, see the Trevor Harris comment from a show previous where you're like, yeah, you know what? Be a fucking man and pull it on yourself at this moment. Whatever you want to say to your teammates behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Right? You got to fucking grab that grand ball. You got to do this. You got to do whatever it is.
Yep.
Yeah. You're in public. You got to keep that shit tight. And he needs to understand that as things cool down, last game before the All-Star break, guys like Arash and whoever else are trying to build pieces to fill time in the slow part of the season.
That's it.
Right? You got to understand. Yeah, it may be irrelevant, but Arash asked the question once everything had sort of wrapped up.
Yeah.
He was, you know, okay, hey, what about this?
Right. Because this is exactly what you're alluding to is we're going into a couple days off where there's nothing going to be happening. Maybe we got this piece we want to do on Vancouver. Maybe Stroman has an interesting relationship with the media where he has stated a few times, he's not a big fan, right? And he only talks on game day. Other than that, he's pretty much told the media, I'll talk to fans myself through Twitter or Instagram or whatever.
Do my angry tweets.
Right. Could be. And that's sort of what he's done. And so I've seen other reporters say that if you go up to Marcus Stroman in between game days when he says he's not going to talk, say, look, this is just kind of what we're trying to do. Do you mind talking about this? A lot of the times he'll say yes, but for the most part, he doesn't want to deal with the media. And you and I have differed on this before in terms of how important, it is to deal with the media. I think Arash Medani probably did as much as he could in terms of waiting it out, talking about what.
Well, see, I haven't heard Arash say anything.
He won't.
Right.
And I wonder if that hasn't been Rogers-owned Sportsnet saying, you're diffusing this because, you know, we own that and we don't want our guy to look bad.
Well, and he's also the guy who's there all the time.
Yep. So I wonder if they haven't told him, you're not going to make this any bigger than it is. But at the same time, there are other reporters from other outlets who've been happy to report exactly what happened. Steve Simmons absolutely is one of them. But even The Athletic is, you know, this is kind of what happened. And I wonder in this weird gray area where, if this outburst had happened inside the Blue Jays clubhouse at Rogers Center, it never would have seen the light of day. But for some reason, because technically speaking, right, we had to do it outside, now I feel like I can,
you know, the difference
rip on this guy. He's black.
Oh,
that's no, that is the difference. Because what's the difference? How Chris Sale destroyed his own team's uniform and tore his clubhouse apart. And everyone went, what a competitor.
He got ripped for that. And we ripped him here on this.
Cutting up his fucking third uniform or whatever.
Yeah,
they were
well,
doing
it was
there.
Stupid.
Yeah, of course it was.
Okay, no. What I was going to say is,
I stand by what I said.
Yeah, I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with what you said.
Fair enough.
I'm just sort of passing it.
Okay.
I
would.
You know, George Bell can say, yeah, yeah, you can kiss my purple butt, right? Like, he can say whatever he wants to say. I've always been intrigued by the purple part.
By his butt.
Yes. And you can have Dave Steeb say all the crazy inflammatory things that he wants to say. What? So Dave Steeb, all-star pitcher, perfect game thrower, George Bell, AL MVP.
So all it's performance for you.
It's performance. If you're winning and you're a dominant pitcher, you're doing your thing, people let you go with all kinds of things. You're sucking and you're still acting like a prima donna.
Yeah, and this is where the kind of gray area comes in, is the first report said that he was yelling at Arash Madani, "We're awful, we're fucking terrible." And someone else is reporting the quote says, "I'm awful, we're fucking terrible." As an athlete, I don't know. Like, if he had just stood there and said, "I'm awful, I'm terrible, I'm playing fucking terrible," I don't think this is a thing. But as soon as he says, "We're playing awful," oh, you've thrown your teammates under the bus. No, we're fucking awful, yeah. Right? Like, I wonder if...
And he's right. He's been fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And he's right. The team's been fucking terrible. I just think when you're not performing and you have this history of being...
a fucking loudmouth.
Yeah, of being chippy and all those sorts of things. When you're sucking, hey, man, just keep it on you. Just keep it on you.
Yeah.
Don't try and throw...
And I think he did.
Don't try and throw shade
when he
elsewhere.
Thought...
okay.
The cameras were running.
Well, but you're still in public.
I guess.
You're not in behind closed doors. And so I was reading a Steve Simmons article.
Why?
Well, because I was looking for a little more background on this.
Go somewhere else.
Right? Well, no, but if I want to say something negative,
sure.
I go to Steve Simmons and just cite him.
Yeah.
He was saying last year he was...
Stroman loves hot dogs.
Yeah. No. He was speaking to unnamed Blue Jay employee and said... and asked this employee the question, when did Marcus Stroman become a dick? Now, I think he said jerk. He said jerk.
Yeah.
And the guy's response to him was, you don't become one.
Okay. You show up as one.
You already are one, right? And so if you're just getting around to that, that's because you're just getting around to it. He's already been there.
Do you care?
If he's a dick, I don't. If you're winning,
that's I guess the thing, right? Because we've both known people in sport who are outstanding at what they do. But they're not pretty doing it, right? From the outside,
you're a dick. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
totally. You're less of a dick. At 27. Which is what he is,
yeah.
Which honestly seems old for a guy who just feels like he's been around for 3 years.
Yeah.
We talked about it. Dave Steeb was an all-star. Jimmy Key was already a front of rotation pitcher. Roy Halladay at 27 is right in between two stellar seasons.
Yep.
Man, I think Marcus Stroman.
Overhyped.
Now, one of the comments to the Steve Simmons article was,
fuck you, Steve.
Okay, no. Yeah, there was
that's lots of them.
That was the first one in the thing, essentially, was say. But somebody said, Marcus Stroman is overrated human garbage.
That guy's white. I'm telling you, that guy.
Well, I'm like,
that might be Donald Trump.
Well, like, hey, that seems...
honestly, it's a little heavy, man.
It's unnecessary. Human garbage. How about he's just overrated? Leave it at that.
Yep. I wanted to, just before we move into a couple of NHL extensions, as we shift away from someone who is... completely unhumble. I sent you an article today on a guy you and I know a little bit. Not great. Jason Dunkerley, a Paralympic athlete here from Ottawa, where you and I are based, ran in, I think, five Paralympic games.
Five Paralympics.
Announced his, didn't even really announce. It just kind of came out that he's essentially hung it up. But he's got four world championships. He's got like five Paralympic medals. You know, a very different guy than you and I, but in terms of what we just finished talking about.
I believe four Paralympic medals, four world championship medals.
Yeah. you may not find a more humble athlete, a guy who just kind of quietly goes about his business, does his thing. You know, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but a guy that the type of guy that I think most Canadians would want to see representing their country, right? In terms of someone who just showed up, did his thing, and went home. I don't think I know anyone who has a bad thing to say about Jason Dunkerley.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
No.
Rob's about to say something bad about Jason Dunkerley.
I got a cold from him coming back from Beijing. I sat, there was a seat, empty seat in between us. And he
wanted to cuddle a little?
He was sick. Honestly, no, but he was sick. And I thought, okay.
I think everyone was sick coming home from Beijing.
A seat in between us is good, but nope. I got wicked sick from him. So.
Well, all right. There's one guy who's got something bad to say about Jason Dunkerley.
No, but he's put a pile of work into the associations he's involved with. Yeah, absolutely. Accomplished, super humble.
Just a quiet guy, shows up and does his thing. And
continues to work hard behind the scenes.
And I said to someone earlier today, I think there's a certain amount of being an asshole helps you maintain that level of competitiveness or vice versa, right? They're somehow tied, but not with that guy. Like, he just always somehow he didn't require that to.
Yeah, but I think he's a guy who's won medals at the 1500 meter and the 5000 meter distance.
Yeah.
And to me, the anger guys are the power guys,
sure,
are the short burst guys. I think the longer distance guys, with the amount of work you got to put into and the duration and the time spent on it,
yeah,
I think those guys are more zen than.
You almost got to be, and it mentioned in the article, and we'll share it in all the usual places at TalkCanAudio, facebook.com/TalkCanAudio, that his last medal in London was, I believe it was the 5,000.
Yep, silver medal in the 5,000.
And they just decided between him and his guide runner, as a totally blind runner, let's just go out. And this sounds weird when you talk about running, but, you know, runners who know what they're doing have a strategy, have a game plan. They just decided, let's just run as fast as we can, which you would think in a race is everyone's, and just let the cards fall where they may. And they led most of the race, and they got passed on the last lap. But you ran literally as hard as you could, and there it was, right?
Well, silver medal. And any distance runner, and clearly I have a vast knowledge and lots of experience in distance running, at major competitions, such as a Paralympic gold medal race, they're tactical.
Yep.
They're usually much slower than the races at other meets. Yep. So, yeah, that is completely the opposite tactic that most play when they go, we're gonna cat and mouse this, and then who can outleg it at the end?
They just said, we're going to give her. And if someone passes us, someone passes us.
Let the field chase us.
Yep. So kudos to Jason. I know a guy that both you and I have a lot of respect for. So congratulations on a great career to Jason Dunkerley. Like I said, if you want to find more information on him, we'll share some at the usual places. Marc-Andre Fleury re-signs in Vegas for 3 years at $7 million. Your initial reaction to that deal?
Yeah, they're not going to love the second half of that. I think it's good money.
Really?
I think he's absolutely worth $7 million.
I don't know if any goalie is at this point. Okay. The way we pay goalies now, the way things pan out.
Well, I'm surprised. I'm surprised. You know what? I got room for your Carey Price debate at $10 million.
Sure.
Right. Lots of guys are saying I'm not paying any goalie $10 million, and that's debatable, right? That's one guy, and if he goes down, but that's any one guy if they go down.
Yep.
To me, if you're gonna pay somebody who has a bigger impact on your team, it can't be a goalie. It can't have more of an impact than a stud goalie.
But you broke every free agent rule with this deal in terms of signing guys when they're too old, signing guys when they're just coming off like their best season ever. You're paying for past performance now, right?
So he's 35, yeah?
Yeah.
Right in that range?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's got two good years. Two good years.
How are you feeling about your Bishop statement on
Oh, the bishop. What bishop statement are we referring to?
At the beginning of the year, you were pretty confident that the Ben Bishop deal in Dallas was a great one and that they would regret the second half. But here we are after year one and they didn't even make the fucking playoffs.
Yeah, okay.
I think old goalies are just a bad investment. I think Montreal's going to hate their deal with Carey Price, which is just starting now.
Okay, and Dallas will be way better this year. Bishop will be better this year. What you were going to see here is the difference is Bishop is one of those big goalies.
Yeah, heavy on his hips.
Right.
Yeah, 220.
Break down. I'd be surprised if he's that late because he's 6'7", or whatever he is.
Yep.
Marc-Andre Fleury is not one of those guys.
No,
Mark,
but he is.
Marc-Andre is much lighter, much more athletic.
He's a quick twitch guy, and that starts to fade on you.
But what did everybody say this year, right? He became less of a reactionary goalie and more positional, right? So as a slightly older guy who's coming off his short of wins, every other statistical category, his best season ever.
Yeah, you don't pay for that, right? Because that's a statistical anomaly. You need to look at the whole career and go, yeah, I don't know. Now, they're not in cap hell, right? They might be okay because of their situation. I don't think you give a 30-something-year-old goalie $7 million. And I'm surprised, to be honest with you, that we're so far opposed on this particular. I think there's some money that goes to being the face of the franchise, which he was in this first year. But he fell apart at the worst possible time, right? Which was fairly predictable. His numbers were way too high.
You mean the cup final?
And even a little bit towards the end of the conference final, but certainly in the cup final. You know, his numbers were so high, so much higher than his career average, that at some point a crash was coming.
Well, and as you said,
I think they would have
after
hoped,
two rounds and 9.48 or whatever it was, not sustainable.
No.
Right? But for anybody.
Right. No.
I don't care who you are.
No, exactly.
So to me, anybody's going to come down from that.
Yep.
So if you look at it, their whole team in the cup final didn't play as well. Scoring dried up.
Yep.
Right? Where's Marchessault and where's Carlson?
Yep.
What's happening there? So, yeah.
But was he not like an 889 or something in the cup
final? Yes, he was. His were sub-9 numbers.
Yeah. So you need help. You need those other guys to do something. But they needed another 5 or 6 games before that crash came, right? The crash was always going to come, but when was it going to come was the problem.
And we broke this down.
Yes, we have.
Here is Washington, and whether it's from long, you know, having in division with the Capitals, that cross crease, down low, making him move, and just how much he overplayed.
Yeah,
shit started to break down in front of him, and your Lucas Pizas of the world and your Shea Theodores.
Can't believe that didn't hold up.
Right. You started to go.
Okay. Let's not throw Lucas Pizas and Shea Theodore in together, but I know what you're saying.
Okay, did you not see Shea Theodore, potential stud D, who just panicked with the puck and threw it right onto somebody's stick that went right in the net, and you're like,
sure.
Yeah. I think Lucas Pizas is saying, I didn't do that. That shit didn't come off of my stick.
It's true, man.
Okay. So really, it's just the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But when you're saying, my worst stats came against the Jets and the Capitals.
A lot of people's did.
Two pretty good teams there.
Yep.
Yeah.
But a whole year like that, that's my problem is.
Okay.
You had to lock him up. Yeah.
But his first two series,
yep,
better stats than the regular season.
But don't you think both of those are anomalies? Like, he's not that bad. He's not as bad as he was in the second half of the playoffs. He's not as good as he was in the first half.
And let's agree that both those games came against Pacific Division rivals.
Yeah.
Weakest division in hockey.
Oh, there are people who don't like when you say that.
Yeah, okay.
Your Western correspondent.
I was going to say, there's people who don't like when I say a lot of things.
Your Western correspondent thinks that it's unfair that we call that the worst division in the...
It is.
It is not. They're terrible. Anyway, we can get to that. We got lots of time to cover off-season.
Certainly we do.
You know, I just think, I don't think you can give...
What's the option? Malcolm Subban?
No, you're going to keep him, but you don't give him $7 million for 3 years.
Hey, somebody's going to give him money.
No one's giving him $7 million for 3 years. And if they do, enjoy the anchor. You just toss that into their boat, crack through the hull.
What's the reality then? He can go to the Islanders, or he can go somewhere.
Have fun.
Okay, but and sign for less money. He can go wherever.
You got him for another year. That's the problem. Is you've got him this year and then three more.
Yep.
So you control him for another year. I think if you're Vegas, you start this out. See if it looks like you're about to take another miracle run. See if you're actually as good as you were last year. Maybe just a little bit off that pace. And if it looks like, oh my God, it turns out we're an expansion team, then yeah, turn around, deal them. See if you can get something for a team going on a playoff run. I just don't think you can give that guy $3 million for $7 million
yeah,
for 3 years.
Yeah, well, okay. And you know what? Cards on the table here. Yeah, I didn't realize.
Yeah, he's not unrestricted. He's got one.
See, I thought it was kicking in this fall.
They have him for one more year.
Yeah. Well, that becomes more problematic now.
There's a Johnny kick him in the ding ding.
Yeah, now we're looking at you're probably it's year two and three in that contract as opposed to maybe year three in that contract that you're not loving.
Yep. And hugging.
Yeah. And squeezing. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting, and I'm sort of less
bullish.
I'm less bullish now with the extra year in front of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm loving this whole idea that everybody needs to be given that extension out of the UFA year, right?
Well, he's a little past that, right? He's into his 30s.
Of course he is, right? But I'm just saying, he's a year up. We need to extend him now.
Yeah.
I think at 35, I think it's prudent to wait.
Right.
And if you want to give him the 7 at the end of next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See what he does. See what this. Because I think we all expect those numbers to come down a bit.
Well,
But how far? And then you decide.
Well, I think far enough that team is. Man, that team is not finishing. For sure, they're not winning the division.
What if they have it at Erik Karlsson?
I hope not. I hope they don't, but mostly because I don't like what they have to offer.
Oh, I think Shea Theodore beside Shabbat would look okay.
Yeah, but we need.
I know you need a lot more than that. And they don't have first rounders to give. Somehow they traded.
Well, Tatar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thomas Tatar, who was a healthy scratch.
But if they could get Shea Theodore and maybe Nick Suzuki.
Yeah, well, we talked about it. To me, the other two teams that were much talked about in it.
Dallas and Tampa.
Yeah. Heiskanen or Sergachev as starting pieces are much preferred to anything that Vegas has to offer.
Okay.
As a starting piece for me.
Yeah.
So, but if you look at Fleury, moving from Fleury to a very similar, we talked about Adam Henrique.
Yep.
Again, he's a year out, right? And then they gave him 4 at 5'9 or 5'6, whatever that, like in that range.
Yeah. To me, centers just go for a different value. And I liked that deal when they traded him, Jersey traded him to Anaheim for Vatanen. I liked that deal for both teams. They both kind of got what they needed out of it. And I think Getzlaff, you're going to see slow down. Kessler, there was talk he couldn't even walk. At the end of, like, he may not play again for a whole year.
Well, it was interesting to listen to Alex Burrows, who when he got bought out here.
Both of those happened, yeah.
He was talking about in his slow rise to the NHL, he ended up in the Manitoba Moose, who at that time was affiliated with
roller hockey team with
the Canucks.
Yeah.
He was there with Bieksa and Kessler. They were all in the Manitoba Moose at the same time. You're thinking, man.
That's loaded.
Well, for sure, but you're like, Kessler's still going and people still look at him like he's an impact player, but he is not.
No.
In any way.
No.
So, yeah, no, Anaheim, I think, is, they're going to be Perry and Getzlaff and Kessler. Man, the clock is ticking on all three of those guys.
I'd be curious with your take on this. Don't you think Getzlaff's probably got more left in the tank than those two?
Well, yeah, because he's less rugged than those other two.
Yeah, but not rugged, right? Like
no, but certainly not like Perry and Kessler.
Right. Well, and part of Perry's problem is he's not fast. And when the wheels come off that, they're going to come off hard because he's not going to be able to play that physical game when he can't catch people. Ryan Kesler already can't walk. Like he's and I'm not exaggerating with that. There are pieces out there that say like when he would come off the ice at the end of a game, they would like ice him hip to foot to be able to even function at the end of the season. And he may miss another 3-4 months going into it. Getzlaff is also not fast, but he doesn't quite play it, as you've alluded to, as heavy as...
Right, and a centerman.
Yep.
Right, so I think Getzlaff can take some solace in the fact that he can look down the highway at Joe Thornton and go,
sure,
maybe I can do a little of that. And then he's become much more of a
pretty good two-way.
Of a disher and that sort of stuff. If you look at... And Henrique is that... If you look at his last sort of 4 years, he's been a pretty consistent 50-point guy, 20-plus goals.
And I love him at third line behind a healthy Getzlaff and Kesler. Not sure I love it as much as a guy who at times might have to be number one, right?
Yeah, well, like and for sure you're looking at a number two in that situation.
Yep.
Before we move out or close, whatever's going to happen here.
Yep.
Your take on Elias Lindholm in the contract he signed in Calgary.
Yeah, it's a hell of a gamble. I didn't think this was as bad of a move for Calgary when they made the trade, which was Hamilton and...
Brower.
No.
No. Not Troy Brower.
No. Ferland.
Eric Ferland?
Yep. And Adam Fox was the prospect that went to Carolina.
For Hanifin and Elias Lindholm.
Yep. I didn't hate it as much because I thought Lindholm had more potential up front, which Calgary needed. They still had a good...
3 16-goal seasons and a 17. Those are the top ends.
Yep. Yep. But I think if you're going to be able to play him with Monahan and Gaudreau...
See, and for you, ladies and gentlemen, he signed, I believe it's 4 years at 5'5".
Yeah, it's in that neighborhood. I don't hate that. I don't think that's a huge risk. You're right. He doesn't have a huge track record at this point that would back that up. But if you're going to play a skill guy like that with two guys on that top line, he's obviously going to be on your number one power play.
Because nothing says skill like 40 points a season.
Well, in Carolina. Like, what the fuck have they done, really?
Yeah, yeah. I you look at that and go, and they're saying, so what's it going to be? Is he going to be a center?
What's it going to be, boy?
Yes.
Or sorry, go ahead.
Or a winger, right? A guy who's played traditionally as a winger.
He's a winger.
And, but they're saying, yeah, he's going to play some center.
That's a bad idea.
Right.
Yeah.
And I look at it and they go, there's a lot of people similar to you saying... Yeah, that's kind of a Nashville contract. You're getting in early on the Euro and saying, we're going to give you a little security, 5'5", you're good to go.
Right.
Well, what if he's a 35-point winger?
He's not, do you think he is? I know that's what it would say in Edmonton. If they're going to play him with skill like Monahan and Gaudreau.
Yeah, okay, so and you're suggesting then who plays with James Neal?
Who's still there?
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Backlund, is he still a...
Yeah, Michael Backlund is still there.
There you go. James Neal and Michael Backlund.
Okay, but yeah, so to
it'd
me...
It'd be awesome.
Yeah. You've got a solid 1.5 lines.
Well, they only had a solid 1 last year.
Okay,
so
but I'm just saying, you know what? Try and pair up Neal and Lindholm then and leave Gaudreau and Monahan together doing their thing. That's a proven. Try and build some depth, douchebags.
I don't hate that. Okay. Spread it out over a couple of lines.
See, this is all I'm saying.
So, you don't like 5.5 for that guy? I just think as the cap goes up, I don't find that to be an unreasonable number at all.
Right. And so the 5.5, I think, following your logic and it's sound, right? If he's going to play some center and he's going to get up around 50 points.
There you go.
Then you go, great deal.
Yep.
If he's going to play the wing and stay in his sort of status quo of 40 to 45 points, I think you've overpaid for a soft guy.
And I think they're hoping that Hanifin is going to get a bit more of a chance, right, as part of that deal. I mean, he obviously haven't locked him up quite like they have with Lindholm. But in terms of the trade, with Giordano's probably still got a couple years left as a top pair guy. They still have Brody, right? Like, I don't dislike what Calgary's done. I think they've done more probably than anyone else in that division. I don't think that means they're going to win the division, but I think they've been active in trying to.
For sure, but I think we both saw them as doing better last year.
Yes, we did.
And I think I
had them second, didn't I? No, third.
No, we had both had Anaheim and Edmonton and Calgary third.
Right.
And I think I see them again. We'll get into that later, but
yeah,
I think they push up into that spot again.
Anything else on this one, man?
No, too much money for a bunch of people.
Not enough for
not
others.
For you and I.
Yeah, exactly. That's Tall Can Sports. You can check us out on Twitter at Tall Can Audio, Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. What the fuck else are we doing, man? Patreon.com/Tall Can Audio, and you can get the archives at TallCanAudio.com.
Or Archive if you're here in Ottawa or in, you know, West Quebec.
Fucking Archive. That's Tall Can Sports.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year!